1 Kings chapter 19. And Janet, that was an incredible job on It Is Well With My Soul. That is by far my favorite hymn, mostly because of the story behind it. And I was not going to do this, but this is the second time this morning that song has come across my eyes and ears this morning. If you don't know the story of Horatio Spafford, do some research. This is completely nothing to do with the sermon. I just wanted to throw it out there. But Horatio Spafford was a guy back in the late 1900s, lost everything, lost his home, his business in the Chicago fire, sent his family to England ahead of him to get some vacation, relaxation time after they lost everything. And his wife and four daughters were in a boat crash. All four of his daughters passed away. His wife survived. He went to go meet her in England. On the way, the boat passed by where the ship had crashed and sunk, and he'd lost all four of his daughters. And he wrote, "It is well with my soul." And that verse changes. That the first one is all about events and circumstances in your life, and then you get into the second, third, and fourth verse, and all of a sudden it's all about Jesus. And you see this man in his heart that goes from seeing his circumstances fall apart and his life falling apart to all of a sudden he's praising and worshiping Jesus. And it's an incredible thing to see that you get to verse 3 and he says, "My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord on my soul." Yeah. All right. Okay. Kings chapter 19. We started 2 weeks ago in this series about God moving and God working and being prepared for that. 2 weeks ago, we looked at preparing our hearts, preparing ourselves for God moving and God working in our lives, in this church, in our community, everything that everywhere God works, which is everywhere. Last week, we looked at the first, there's four ways I'm talking about that God speaks to us. Last week, we looked at the first two that we're talking through. And the first two, last week were our circumstances, that God speaks to us sometimes through our circumstances and things that are happening around us. He also speaks to us through other people, other believers that have wisdom to share and they have experience to share. And sometimes they do it, even they don't realize they're doing it. They say something completely off the cuff and it's something that God is using to speak into our lives. And today we're going to be looking at how God speaks to us through our spirits. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you are saved, born again, baptized, believer in Jesus Christ, God himself lives inside you, and he speaks to you that way. So we're going to look at that and also how God speaks to us through his word in the Bible. And I wanted to make this point again. I said it last week. I'll say it again. God rarely speaks through just one of these methods. In fact, the only time I know that he's going to only speak through one of them is going to be through the Bible. If you think God is speaking to you through your circumstances, he's going to confirm that up, everything else through other people, through the word, through your spirit. If you feel like he's speaking to you in your spirit, like we talked about today, he's going to confirm and back that up through his word and through your circumstances. All these things work in concert with each other. Because the danger is that we think we're hearing God say something to our spirit and we just kind of run with it and it turns out it was just us all along. Or we see circumstances happening and we go, well, everything's lined up. Remember last week, one of the commentators I read was talking about a friend who had wanted this truck. He wanted a blue truck, this particular one, and he had been praying about it. And all of a sudden, the dealer in town had a blue truck just like the one he wanted, and that meant God was telling him to go buy that truck. Well, he couldn't afford the truck. But he knew that God was telling him. That's the danger, is that we will get one of these things out of context and start applying it somehow, and it's not the way God intended. So keep that in mind. If you feel God speaking to you in your spirit, if you see circumstances, doors opening or closing a certain way, whatever it is in your life you're seeing, be sure you're seeking out the whole counsel through his word, through other believers. Dig in deep before you make any big decisions or even small decisions in your life. Make sure you're hearing from God. So 1 Kings chapter 19, I'm going to set you up with the story out of chapter 18. 18 is very familiar if you've been in church or in school for any amount of time. If you haven't, it's a pretty cool story. It's about Elijah. He's a prophet of God, and he was somebody that stood up against the earthly, worldly leadership in Israel. And Israel began worshiping a god named Baal. And Elijah stood up and challenged 450 prophets of Baal to a contest. He said, "We're going to set up an altar. You guys do your thing. You pray to Baal. Do whatever you got to do. And we're going to have wood on this altar. And if Baal makes it catch on fire without you touching it, then we'll worship Baal." He said, but if I get up there and I do what I do and God does what he does, we're going to worship God. Well, you know, if you know the story, he gets up there, the prophets of Baal, 450 of them, they're screaming, they're cutting themselves, they're in doing all their incantations and all the different stuff they have to do in order to get Baal to do anything. And guess what happens? Nothing. Nothing. So Elijah gets up there, and he has the altar with the wood on it. And he says, let's pour water on the wood. And then dig a trench around the thing and fill it up with water too. And he gets down, he prays a very simple prayer, and poof, fire. The wood burns up, the stones the altar were made of burned up, God showed up and showed off. And so what Elijah did in response to that, in order to help cleanse Israel of the influence of Baal, he took, this sounds terrible and gruesome, but it was something that God had him do. He took all 450 of those prophets of Baal down to a river and had them killed. 450 men had them killed to help cleanse Israel of the influence of Baal. So Jezebel, who was the kind of the queen of Israel at the time, her husband Ahab was king, and he was technically in charge, but she kind of ran the show, if you know how that works. He was technically the king, but she kind of ran everything. She gets mad because Elijah killed all of her prophets for Baal that she liked to worship. And she makes a threat. Let's start reading in verse 1. It says in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1. It says, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me and even more if I do not make your life as a life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. So she threatens. She threatens to kill him. But notice how she threatens. We're going to cover this again in a sec. Just the threat here. I'm going to get you 24 hours from now. You watch out. That doesn't sound very scary. We'll get to that again in a second. All right. So verse 3. He arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, requested for himself that he might die, and said, is it enough? It is enough now, O Lord. Take my life, for I'm no better than my father. So he freaks out. When Jezebel makes this kind of empty threat, Elijah freaks out, and he takes off running, and he goes up and hides, right? At this point, he's hiding under a juniper tree. It gets to where he is hiding up in the mountains, and he's hiding up in the caves, and he gets into a cave. In verse 9, skip down to verse 9. It says, he came there to a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah said, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, tore down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away. So God comes to Elijah and says, why are you up here in the mountains? And he says, because they're trying to kill me. I'm the only one left. I'm the only faithful servant, and they want to kill me too. So I came up to hide myself to keep myself from getting killed. Verse 11, so he, God, said, go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord was passing by. Now listen to this. A great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a gentle blowing. So Elijah was told by God to go and stand and wait for him to show up. And there's all these huge things that happen. Earthquakes, fires, all these massive things. And guess what? God wasn't there. God was wanting to do something special with Elijah. Verse 13, when Elijah heard it, the gentle blowing, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? The first point in your outline there is be still. God speaking quietly means he wants to be close. Be still. See, I'm afraid that, so often we ask God to move and to say and to do and to work and to act, and then we sit back and wait for fireworks. We sit back and wait for the earth to move and things to shake and buildings to fall down. And we go, okay, God, do your thing, and we'll sit here and watch it happen. But that's not how God always works. Sometimes he does. But more often than not, I think for us, especially for those of us here that are believers, that have trusted Christ and that have he has saved us and come to live inside of us, he wants to do more like this. He wants us to be still, because speaking quietly means God wants to be close. See, if I'm up here and I'm loud, I've got a microphone, speakers projecting, I can stay pretty far back from everybody, and you can hear me pretty well, most of you. So we got hearing aid things to help with that too, but you can hear me no matter how close I am. But if I start to whisper, I get kind of quiet, and I want to tell you something. What do we have to do? We have to get close. And when God wants to tell you something, he wants to call you in real close. And we whisper. You may be sitting there looking for the big thing and the explosions and the lightning and all of that and the sun to stand still and all the miraculous stuff, but God's saying, no. Come close. Come close. Because notice what he does. He gets Elijah up close in verse 13. He repeats the same question he had asked before. And I almost hear God, and I heard a preacher say this one time, and it really stuck with me. Now you can almost hear God change his tone, because he asks, what are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah says that he says what he says, I'm by myself, and everybody's trying to kill me. And then God says, oh, come here real close. What are you doing here, Elijah? You almost kind of wonder how he phrased that, you know. Was it, what are you doing here? Or was it, what are you doing here? I don't know how he said it, but he said it to where it hit Elijah. What are you doing here? Did you not just see what happened yesterday? Yesterday, I burned up an altar with no one touching it. I helped you by yourself kill 450 people. And now some lady says, I'm going to come get you tomorrow, like afternoon. You better watch out. And all of a sudden you're scared and you're hiding in the caves? Come on. That's the subtext, I think, of what God was saying there a little bit. I was a little bit deeper into it. But God is bringing Elijah close because he wants to really dig down into Elijah's heart and deal with the issue that Elijah was really dealing with, which wasn't being afraid of Jezebel, because honestly, that threat was pretty empty. That threat was pretty sad. And I don't know that she actually ever even came after him, but he went and hid. The issue Elijah had was he was having some issues trusting God. And see, I know, and that's what that song, It Is Well With My Soul, speaks to this, that there are things in your life right now, I believe there's people here this morning that have something going on that is so big that you can't handle it. And it may be something completely outside of your control, and maybe something that you did that you're experiencing the consequences of it now. I don't know, but I know that God wants to draw you in and get down to the heart of what you're dealing with. And he wants to encourage you, and he wants to speak to you, and he wants to talk to you. So what we have to figure out is, how do I know when I feel something in my spirit? And this is something I can't really explain other than, you know, just that gut-turning kind of thing, and you hear things, and stuff comes to your mind, and stuff just impresses on you. I can't describe it. You've got to feel it, okay? And if you haven't made that decision to follow Christ, if you're not saved, there's no way you're going to get it. But God does that to us, and he does that. So how do I know if that feeling I get is God speaking to me, or if it's me just thinking about stuff I want to be and the way I want to be it? It's a great question. It's a question I've dealt with. How do I know when I'm praying and I get quiet and I get still and I'm listening and I'm waiting for God to show up and something comes to my mind? How do I know it's not just my selfishness, or if it's God speaking to me? If you ever figure that out, please let me know, because I don't have a good answer for that, other than for us to be quiet, listen, let God get close to God. Take in all the way that God speaks to us, Because what you do, if you feel that in your heart, that impression in your heart, then you go to the Word and you see what God is telling you through His Word. You go to other believers and talk to them and say, here's what I'm feeling, here's what I'm thinking, what's your counsel? You look at circumstances around you and see how they're lining up to either send you where you think God's sending you or to shut the door and tell you to turn some other way. You have to do all of those things to verify that what you're feeling in your heart is God speaking to you. And once you do that, and then you do it again, and then you do it again, you know what happens? You get a bit more familiar with it's God speaking to you or it's yourself. You start to learn in your heart that's God's voice. That's God speaking to me. Because Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. So He set it up to where we can hear from Him. We just have to be sure that we're not digging through fire and earthquakes, but we're getting still and stopping. And I tell you, busyness is one of the biggest killers of our intimacy with God that there is. Because we can get so busy. And if you're in business, you know busyness does not equal productivity. Because we're being busy, if we're busy being busy with church stuff, we can completely miss out on God. Because busyness is not what He's about. He wants us to be still, to listen, and to hear from Him when He calls us close and whispers into our heart. Okay, Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We want to talk a little bit about how God speaks to us through His Word. We're going to kind of tie the two together when we get to the end. So Psalm 119, if you can't find the book of Psalm, the Psalms just kind of to the middle. And Psalm 119 is the longest chapter and the longest book in the entire Bible. So you should be able to find it hopefully pretty easy. Hopefully I can find it, and I've got a little computer thing here helping me. All right, Psalm 119, starting in verse 9. Go ahead and give you the second point there. Is that it's impossible to apply more scripture to your life than you have in your head. That seems simple, and it seems kind of like, oh yeah, but I think that we try to operate like we can do it some other way. It is impossible to apply more scripture to your life than you have in your head. If you don't know a verse, you can't use that verse in your life. Does that make sense? Because we don't do it like that. We just go through and pray, okay, God, tell me what to do. Okay, God, show me how to work. And He's going, I already did. I put it in a book. Read the book. It'll explain pretty much everything. Okay, Psalm 119, verse 9. David says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. So David asked the question, how am I supposed to keep myself pure? By meditating on His Word. How do I live my life? How do I not wander away from God? How do I keep myself close to God? Because I think we deal with this, we ask this question, I feel like God is way far away. I feel like God is just left me. Well, He didn't move. He's still there. And David says for us to get to know Him, for us to have that, we have to be in His Word, to meditate on it. In verse 11, your word have I treasured in my heart. Some versions say, your word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. Are you dealing with a sin this morning? Are you dealing with something in your life that you know you shouldn't be doing? That kind of in your heart you're feeling like, probably, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a way you speak, way you act. I don't know. David says the way to avoid sin is to hide God's word in your heart. I've got the staff. We're reading a book together. We talk about it at staff meeting each week, and it's called, it's John Ortberg. Name of the book, and The Life You've Always Wanted, the name of the book. It's called The Life You've Always Wanted. And the chapter we just discussed this week, he talks about training versus trying when it comes to approaching your walk with God. And there's a big difference between training and trying. I can go out and try to run the 5K this weekend at the Harvest Festival, but it's not going to go very well. There was a time where I could just go out on a 5K and it would go pretty well. But I haven't trained for a 5K in like 12 years. There's a difference between training and trying. I was telling them there's an old friend of mine that's on Facebook, and she's working on a marathon. And a few weeks ago, she had gotten to 9 miles. Well, a marathon is 26 miles. But you know what? That 9 miles was a success because it was part of her training. This last week before last, she got to 18 miles. It's not 26 miles, but it's a success because she's training. She's not just going out there and trying. And see, when we approach the Word of God, I'm afraid that too often we get to the Word and we go, okay, I'm going to sit down and this week I'm going to start my quiet time. Every morning I'm going to quiet time, I'm going to want to read the Bible, and God's going to change me. Well, that's trying. That's just trying. See, the problem is you've got the wrong goal. If your goal is to just sit down and read your Bible every once in a while, then yeah, you'll do that for a little bit, but it's going to fall off. It's like a diet. Want a diet. My goal is to eat different food, and I'll do that. And I will do that for like a week, okay? And I drive by McDonald's, and I drive by Sonic, and, you know, it smells pretty good. Well, I'll go to Subway this time, but I'll get the one that's got all the different salami and pastrami and everything else on it. You know, but it's at Subway, so it's healthier, right? We approach the Word of God when our goal is to just read the Bible. We're going to end up failing. But if we approach the Word of God and our goal is to get to know God better, that's a different thing. Because if our goal is to know God better, if our goal is to know Jesus better, He will use the Word as part of that in our training. The goal is not just to sit and read your Bible. Anybody can sit and read their Bible. But if your goal is to know God and to know Jesus and become more like Christ, reading your Bible will suddenly be part of the work that God is doing to make you do that and to make you into that. Because we can all sit and read, and gaining knowledge but never applying it is a waste of your time. It's a waste of time. There's a lot of people that have a lot of Bible knowledge, but don't know how to use it. They don't know how to use it. So study the Bible, learn the Bible, but use what you're learning to get to know God better. And that's the last point there. Pursuing Bible knowledge is actually pursuing a relationship with Jesus. Go to John chapter 1. I know we're jumping around quite a bit here. We're not quite done jumping, but we will be, hopefully before 11:45, but we'll see. John chapter 1. Verse 1, pursuing Bible knowledge is actually pursuing a relationship with Jesus. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. This is the capital W, okay? It's important. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life. And life was the light of men. So there's this Word that John's talking about. And the Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word did the creating in Genesis chapter 1. When all that stuff was happening, it says all things came into being through Him. That means that this Word was the one acting. When God said, let there be light, that was His words coming out. But then the Word was actually in the acting. And this is kind of confusing, but it's going to make sense. Verse 14. Verse 14 in John chapter 1. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory. Glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about Him and cried out, saying, This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for He existed before me. So who's the Word? Jesus. The Word of God became flesh, turned into Jesus. And John acknowledged that Jesus existed before Him. But who's older? John the Baptist was a little bit older than Jesus. So what he's saying about this is Jesus, this man that walked the earth for 33 years, has actually existed for eternity as part of the Godhead. And that's Jesus. That's the Word. When we study the Word, when we're pursuing what God has said to us through His Bible, we're actually getting to know Jesus better. So if we want to become like Him, what do we need to do to get to know Him? Read Him. This is what God has told us about Himself, about who God is. And see, here's the thing. When Jesus, at the end of His ministry, when He was about to leave, He said, I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you an encourager, depending on your translation. Well, who's He talking about? Holy Spirit. So the Word that we study to get to know God, to hear from God, sent the Spirit to live inside of us so God can speak to us. So He's given us these two incredible things that we get to have, His words and His Spirit. He wants to talk to us. He's equipped us to hear from Him. He's giving us what we need to hear what He's saying to us. And that's a huge, huge deal. Deuteronomy chapter 5, and this is my last place, and I know y'all have been, again, like last week we looked in Habakkuk, and y'all were waiting for that, and I know you've been waiting for me to get to Deuteronomy. Here we go. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. God wants to talk to you. Because I know I've been there. I've been in these times where I've felt like God was just letting me kind of coast. And God was letting me just kind of flail and figure out my own way and find out what was, you know, I'll figure out what's going on myself, God, because clearly You're not talking to me. God wants to talk to you. He wants to talk to you. Deuteronomy chapter 5, starting in verse 22. This is, Deuteronomy, it literally means second law. It's Moses repeating the law to the people of Israel. Verse 22 says, these words the Lord spoke to all your assembly at the mountain from the midst of the fire. He had just finished reading the Ten Commandments again. So he had heard the Ten Commandments again. Of the cloud and the thick gloom with a great voice, and he added no more. He wrote them on two tablets of stone and gave them to me. And when you heard the voice from the midst of the darkness, while the mountain was burning with fire, you came near to me. All the heads of your tribes and your elders. You said, behold, the Lord our God has shown us His glory and His greatness, and we have heard His voice from the midst of the fire. We have seen today that God speaks with man, yet He lives. So Moses is speaking the word, re-giving them the law, re-giving them the Ten Commandments, and they make this observation. God has spoken to a man, and he's still alive. But see, God's holiness is such a big deal that if we are ever actually in the presence of God, we cannot survive it because of our sinfulness. And so people are kind of blown away here because God had spoken to Moses and Moses survived it. And that's a pretty cool. Like I read this and I see, you know, they're witnessing something amazing here. That the Lord has shown us His glory and His greatness. We have heard His voice from the midst of the fire. We've seen today that God speaks with man, yet He lives. And I'm reading that going, that's good news. God has spoken to somebody like me, and that person survived. That means that God wants to talk to me. I want to go hear from Him. Hopefully that's kind of the reaction that you have when you hear that. But keep reading verse 25. Now then, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us if we hear the voice of the Lord our God any longer, then we will die. For who is there of all flesh who has heard the voice of the living God speaking from the midst of fire as we have and lived? Go near and hear all that the Lord our God says, then speak to us all that the Lord our God speaks to you, and we will hear and do it. So God has spoken to a man. The man has survived. The people recognize that. And instead of saying, God's given us an opportunity here. God's given us an opportunity to hear from Him and survive it. Let's go hear. They say, you go. Moses, you go. Go hear from God. See what God's saying, and He'll tell you. You come tell us, and then we'll be good. So Moses says, okay. Verse 28. Let's keep reading. Verse 28. The Lord heard the voice of your words when you spoke to me. The Lord said to me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken to you. They have done well in all they have spoken. Verse 29, this is God speaking. Remember, God's talking. Oh, that they had such a heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it may be well with them and with their sons forever. Go say to them, return to your tents. But as for you, Moses, stand here by me. that I may speak to you all the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which you shall teach them, and they shall observe them in the land which I give them to possess." So what's happened here is God gave the people of Israel an opportunity to hear from him directly. And they blew it. So God said, "Fine, I'll talk to Moses. And Moses, you can go talk to them. I want you to stay here and listen to me." And I'm telling you today, God still wants to speak with us. He sent his son to die for us so that he could speak to us. He sent his spirit to live inside of us so that he can speak to us. God wants to speak with us. Are we going to listen? Are we going to do what it takes to get still and quiet and hear what he has to say to us? Are we going to pay attention to what's happening in the world around us, to what's happening within our own lives and our own families, our own situations that we're going through? We're going to watch those things from a spiritual perspective and start realizing that God's working in those things. And then, here's the big thing. We're going to talk about this a little bit next week. What are we going to do about it? If we hear God speaking to us, if we know that God is telling me to do something in my life with the ministry or my family or whatever it is, if I believe God's telling me something about this church and where we should go and what we should do, if I believe God's telling me that stuff, what am I going to do about it? Am I just going to keep coming on Sundays and sit through the service and listen to him just talk for 30 minutes or so, get some good music and go home and have lunch? Or is it going to change my life? Is it going to change the way I approach my coworkers? Is it going to change the way I approach my fellow students? Is it going to change the way I approach the people I come across at Walmart? What's it going to do? What are you going to do about it? And that will be the measure of this church and how God moves in this community. It's what we do with what we know God is telling us to do. So I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to do this. I've given you four ways to hear from God. When you wake up tomorrow, pay attention. Get still. Get quiet. Listen to God. As you're going throughout your day, look for opportunities, because sometimes God surrounds us with circumstances that are opportunities for us to live out what he's taught us. Listen to that voice. Read the word. Look for opportunities. Watch your circumstances. Go and spend time investing and being invested in by other believers. And see what God's going to do through that. Get people in your life that you need to hear from and that need to hear from you. And start pushing forward with what God is leading us to do. And that starts today. Let's pray. God, thank you so much. God, that you want to speak to us. That is such a huge deal. And that is such a miraculous thing, God, that you want to talk to